kind of glad I missed out on some of that stuff. It was a great night. Well, today as we start our 2019, can you believe that? 2019. You know, I'm always excited for new beginnings. And starting over is a serious business when you think about it. And what I love about the gospel is that it gives us a chance to start over again and again and again. And I tell you, that's a good thing, because there's times in your life when you find yourself realizing, hey, it's time to turn a new page. I'm right in there with you. It's time to begin a new chapter. I don't know, I was thinking about that. You know, sometimes it happens for very positive reasons, such as you've been thinking about giving your heart to Christ, and you finally do, and you've got new life in Christ, and you're ready to start living for Him. Other times, it might be a seemingly negative experience that happens in your life that brought you to a desire for a new beginning. Might it be a health crisis, or maybe losing a job, some other kind of life transition. And sometimes, I don't know, you just kind of reach this place where you want to start over. You arrive at this place simply because you've come to the realization that your life isn't working out the way you want it to. And so you want to start a new track. I guess we call it turning over a new leaf. But really what it can be called is paving a new way of life. Everybody finds themselves in this position. Sometimes I'm no exclusion. I've gone through this many times. When you say, yeah, you know what? It's time for a reboot. I need to clear the decks and start over. It's time for a new beginning. Well, today we're going to take a look at a story that teaches just that. And once you grasp this spiritual truth that I'm going to give you this morning, and if you apply it to your life, I guarantee you, you'll never be the same. So we're going to start 2019 with a spiritual truth, and here it is. Jesus knows more about your life than you do. That means your situation. That means your job, your problems, your school activities, your limitations, your ambitions, your potential. He knows more about those things in your life than you could ever possibly know. And there's a corresponding spiritual truth that goes along right along with that. Not only does He know more about your life than you do, He knows and is willing and is able to make your life the absolute best that it can be. And as I was writing this down, I was thinking back into last year and some of the great opportunities that you all had jumped into. I'm proud of you for it. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. Yeah, abundantly. And then he's talking about His followers. He's talking about me. He's talking about you. Jesus knows more about your life than you can possibly know. And He knows how to make it work. He knows how to make it thrive. He knows how to make it succeed. And that's what He wants for you. So let's get out our swords this morning, if you haven't already, and turn over to Luke chapter 5. In Luke 5, I don't hear many pages rustling. You must be used to me. In Luke 5, we read this story of how Jesus kind of steps in and calls the Apostle Peter. He didn't just call the Apostle Peter. Quite frankly, He caught the Apostle Peter. Now, at the time, he wasn't the Apostle Peter yet. His name was just Simon. And old Simon, he had a couple boats, he had a couple crews, he had some nets, and he was a professional fisherman. And later, Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter, which in Greek is Petros, or rock. He took this guy by the name of Simon, typical businessman, fisherman, and he turned him into a man of God with incredible spiritual power. Now, Peter began, if you know a little bit about Simon Peter, I kind of like this, really, because I'm this way a lot. He kind of started his ministry with two left feet. He was just kind of bumbling and stumbling along. His words got in front of his mind, his way of his thinking, just like I'm doing right now. And Jesus still worked with that. And I'm glad for that. A lot of times he leaped before he looked. But he became the Apostle Peter, one of the most significant leaders in the early church. On the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 people got saved. He laid his hands on people and they were miraculously healed. It got to the point where if he was coming into town, people would bring their sick out and they would see where the sun was and they would lay the sick along the path so that his shadow would pass over them. But where we are today, he's just Simon. And today, I think all over the world, there's a whole lot of believers that are kind of where Simon was then. They know about Jesus, familiar with Jesus. You count yourself among his followers, just as Simon did. And Simon had been following Jesus for a while. This wasn't his first day on the scene. In fact, if you back up a chapter, you don't have to do that, but if you back up a chapter into chapter 4, you see that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. She was sick and he healed her. But it wasn't until this scene that we're at today in Luke 5 that Simon allowed himself to really be caught by Jesus. And I think it was that day that Simon first began to grasp this spiritual truth, that Jesus knows more about me and my life than I'll ever know. And here's how it happened. One day, Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, and he's yapping to the crowd, he's talking to the crowd, he's teaching the crowd, and the crowds can kind of hear him. But he sees a boat, he sees some boats there on the shore, and he steps into one of the boats, was Simon's boat. And he asked Simon, who was right there, he says, "Hey, put out a little ways from shore." And then he sat down in the boat and began to teach. The first time I read this, I thought, well, that's kind of weird. He's farther away from the people. But if you've ever fished on a pristine, calm lake, you know how voice travels. If you're in a real good fishing hole, you don't want to let the other boats know, you know. You don't want to talk about it too much. Move out from shore, Simon. The acoustics was perfect. I think the creator of the universe understood that as well. Let's look at verse 4. We'll start there this morning. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put into deep water. Let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." And you know the story. You've probably heard it before. Simon and his companions on the boat, they let down their nets and when they started to pull them back up, they couldn't even get them in the boat. They caught so many fish that the nets were starting to tear. And Simon immediately signaled for his partners in the other boat to come over to help him out. And they came over and they started getting fish like crazy. And they got so many fish that the boats started sinking. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And what happened next? Verse 11. So they pulled up their boats on shore, left everything, and followed him. And so began the transformation of Simon to Petros, the rock. And you can experience this same type of transformation. And just like it began for Simon, it can begin for you today. So if you've been a casual follower of Jesus, that doesn't even sound right, does it? There is no such thing as a casual follower of Jesus. But most of us have tried it from time to time. So I repeat, if you've been a casual follower of Jesus, marginally religious, nominally spiritual, you can begin to experience a transformation today that's going to take your life on a whole new journey. Abundance. Meaning. Fulfillment. As Jesus called it in John 10:10, a life more abundantly. And it begins with absorbing this spiritual truth. Jesus knows more about you and your life than you'll ever, ever know. And He's willing to make your life the best it can be. So since Jesus knows more about you than you know, the first point this morning is this: keep trying, even when the results don't come easy. So here's Jesus. He's telling the fishermen to move out into deep water and catch some fish. Throw out your nets. See how it works. I fished a little in my day. Peter replies, "Master, we've been fishing all night. We've caught nothing." And you can see the implication there. What he didn't say, I think, ran through his mind. "Lord, I'm a professional fisherman. I've been in this business long enough to know that some days there just isn't any action out there. And this is one of them. You, on the other hand, you're a carpenter. Wonderful teacher. But you're not a professional fisherman. With all due respect, I've got more experience here on the lake than you do." Now, Simon Peter didn't say that. But I wonder if it ran through his mind. Those kind of things have run through my mind before. I'm sure they've run through some of yours. "Jesus, you just don't understand. Jesus, you just don't understand how important this situation is to me. You don't realize how tough it is to live in the 21st century. You don't know how tough it is to run a business. You don't know how much it is, how hard it is to balance cash flow. You don't realize how potentially devastating this situation is, Jesus. I have to make this decision on my own. I don't think you really understand what's going on here." And all that sounds ridiculous. But don't we dabble in that? Based on what I think sometimes and based on what I hear others say, I know it's a struggle for a lot of folks. Jesus tells us to move out into deep water and let down our nets for the catch. And we say, "Lord, I've tried and tried and tried. I just can't try anymore. It's just not working. Or I've tried to be good. It's just not working. Or I've tried to tell others about you and they just don't listen. And I tried to respond in love to the people I work with and they just stabbed me in the back. I try to do good, and nothing works." Now, when Jesus told Simon to let down his nets into the water, Simon thought it might be an exercise in futility. It's obvious by what he said. But he was starting to grasp a greater truth, that Jesus knows more about this situation than I do. So I'm going to try again. And it's the same with you. And it's the same with me. Even if you're in the middle of an extended dry spell, even if you tried and tried and tried and get nothing in return, here's a good reason to keep trying. Jesus knows more about that situation that you find yourself in than you do. When He tells you to keep on trying, there's a good reason for it. So regardless of what Simon might have been thinking that day, he made the right decision in verse 5. He says, because you say so, I'll let down the nets. And by trying again, he put himself in a position to be outrageously blessed by God. Jesus really does know better than I do. And that can also be a little scary. That realization of the power and the majesty of God. And we're going to be working on the names of God and the characteristics of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit throughout this year as we center on worship. So I got to get to point two, because this also means that Jesus knows your true potential. If He knows all this other stuff, He knows your potential. I venture to say, if we all knew our own potential, none of us would be in the same frame of mind than we are right now. And Peter, he was blown away by the miracle. And he suddenly realized he was in the presence of divine greatness. Now, he had seen Jesus' miracles before, but this one here was something pretty special, because it was so generous to him. Think about what this catch meant for Simon, the fisherman. He probably had 1 month, maybe 2 months of money sitting there flopping around in that boat. Big day for Simon. He had been generously blessed. And he knew he didn't deserve it. And so what was his response? He fell to his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." I've known many people over the years whom God has used in wonderful ways. And they all have something in common. At one time or another, they've all felt exactly as Peter felt that day. They've all wanted to say, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm not worthy of you. This is too much to comprehend. I'm not worthy of your blessings. I'm not worthy to be used by you." And every person who tries to do good at some point comes to the end of themselves and says, "I can't do it. I'm not good enough." And it's at that point where God steps in and says, "Well, it's about time. Start letting me take control of this situation." I've often wondered this myself. Why would God use me? Why would He even want to? It's still a mystery, I got to tell you. But I had to learn the same lesson Peter learned here. The same lesson we all must learn. We don't see our potential the way Jesus does. We always look at our limitations, our past failures, our weaknesses, our sinfulness. But I want you to know that God sees in you potential greatness. He sees what you can be. You're not just a fisherman or school teacher, accountant, a nurse, retiree, police officer. To him you have the potential to do his work for the kingdom. We're all here for a reason. Only what's done for Christ will last. Boy, isn't there a lot of fodder out there? Wow. Your life can be defined by something other than human success. Your life can be defined by your contribution to the everlasting kingdom of God. So today, right here, Jesus is asking you to cast out your nets into the deep water. He's inviting you to make a difference in your community, in your family. I tell you, you may not see your potential, but He certainly does. He knows what you can be. And because He knows more about you than you know yourself, it's worth the risk of leaving everything behind. I like the way the New King James does verse 11. It goes like this. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Can you picture that? Simon Peter and his crew finally gets those overly filled boats up to the shore. James and John's got the other boat and they're wallowing that thing up to the shore before it capsizes. And then old Simon, he probably looked down the lane there and saw a couple guys in another boat getting ready to go out. He says, hey guys, you want this stuff? You want these fish? You want these boats? You want these nets? You can have it. We're out of here. I found something better. I want to spend the rest of my life catching people for the kingdom of God. And Peter left his business behind. But you know, not every follower of Jesus does that. Think of the Apostle Paul. He was a tent maker throughout his ministry. But God can use you right where you are in many ways that you don't realize right now. He can expand your horizons. He can extend your outreach to others far beyond that you could ever hope to imagine. You know what makes it worth it? How many times have I said it? Jesus knows more about your life than you will ever know. And He wants to give you life more abundantly. So that afternoon on the Sea of Galilee, on that shore, Simon began a journey of transformation, and he went from being a fisherman to a fisher of men. On this first Sunday in 2019. How about it? Are you ready to trust Jesus completely? To obey Him even when the results aren't going your way right now? Are you ready to put aside your own insecurities and allow Him to develop your potential? Are you ready to forsake all else and follow Him alone? He's cast a net in your direction, quite frankly. But it's up to you. If you want to be caught. This morning before we sing, I just want to ask you. And I tell you what, just close your eyes for a moment. How do I word this? With every head bowed, every eyes closed. Say, Stan, I'm going to let Him catch me this year. I'm going to let Him shape me into the person that He wants me to become. I want to be a rock for Him. And however the Holy Spirit phrases that in your heart and your mind, if you say yes to that this morning, just to acknowledge that. Would you stand? He says, I want to be more for God, more for Jesus in 2019 than I was last year. If you would, just stand. If you agree with that statement, yes, yes. Yes, all over the room. Father, we are a body of believers that want to be caught. Oh, through Your Holy Spirit, step into our lives in mighty and wonderful ways. And Lord, we trip over ourselves so many times, so make the arrows clear on our path. Many times, Lord, we hear but a wee small voice and we dismiss it. Lord, make it a shout. Help our ears hear You. Help our eyes to see You. Help our feet to obey You, Lord, this year more than any other year. We thank You for Your plans for this body of believers and for us individuals this morning. Lord, thank You. Thank You, thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this morning.
I've been held by the Savior. I felt fire from above. A prodigal return. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by
better song to end this service. Happens all the time. If this morning as you looked into 2019 you said, you know, I need a new path, and that path is Jesus Christ. You've never made that decision before, and you made that decision this morning. Hunt me down. Talk to me. The devil's going to tell you, oh, you didn't do anything. Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. You made an eternity decision this morning if you gave your heart to Jesus Christ. So hunt me down. I want to get you started off right. Amen. Have a blessed week.